Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Fired up to get our friend Mr. John Keim on the program. Of course, you can follow John's work, ESPN.com, at John_Keim, K-E-I-M, or the John Keim Report on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Johnny, how was your weekend off, dude?
It was nice to have that time, man. Smoked some chicken.
I knew you smoked something.
Bought a chainsaw. Life is good.
Bought a chainsaw?
What's the occasion for the chainsaw?
Just, I guess if you have some anger issues, maybe. No. Got some stuff in the yard that has to come down. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
All good.
Now that we've had a few days to kind of process everything from Philly, watch a weekend of football all over the place, what do you think is slowing down Washington all of a sudden? Their offense is not performing at the same clip it was for probably the first half of the season.
Sure, and I think, I mean, is there really? I don't know that there's one reason, but like I do think there are a few, right? So I think the run game when Brian Robinson isn't in there has an impact. I think a primary factor has been they've played some really good defenses. I mean, they have in the last 4 weeks, the Bears, the Steelers, and the Eagles all are like top 8, I think, run defenses in terms of scoring. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that's a huge issue. Now, the Bears are a red zone issue. Should have been a lot. I mean, the potential for a lot more points is there, but you didn't score them. And the Steelers game, you can look at it and say, listen, couple throws, whether it's a couple drop passes, couple missed throws, a missed block on that quarterback draw, you make one of those, then it's like now you're scored over 30 points against the Steelers, right? So, I do think the Steelers did a really good job containing Daniels in the pocket, really good front, good game plan. I felt like the Eagles took away the deep shots, the explosive balls with Fangio's defense, did a really good job with that. So you can look at individual and say it's all that, but is there something else going on too? Is it, how much is Jaden's rib bothering him on that? Hard to say, but you have to wonder about that, right? Because right. There's been a change, and is it just because they're playing really good defense? Is it because of, they don't have the same run game without when Robinson's in there versus when he's not? And so I don't know. I do think there's a few issues, and I'm not dismissing anything because I don't know. And I think we'll get a good feel for like, where is it really? If they have really good games the next 2 weeks, then it's like, well, part of it was just, I think, maybe the quality of defenses you're facing. I mean, look at what Pittsburgh did to Lamar yesterday.
Right.
So like that, you do look at that stuff. And probably a few reasons, right?
Yeah. I look at the offensive line and the protection as well. And I think that so for some reason we talk so much about stats, we don't discuss that.
Yeah.
We saw Wally get hurt. We saw Coleman get hurt. We see Biadas with three different injuries.
Yep.
Allegretti had an injury. All those things begin to wear down. If it's wearing down the other players, the protection is a vital part of all of that.
I think that's a great point, and that's something you have to put on there too, because when you watch the last couple of weeks, those defensive fronts did a really good job. And not just like where they're stopping the run, but also pushing the pocket. So like the Steelers, for example, they blitzed more than they had in any other game. Yep. But they also did a good job with the ends of pinching the pocket. But you had tackles who could push back too. There was only, you know, like last year, the Eagles pass rush to me was very undisciplined. They left gaps for Howell to get through, and I think it made a difference. You didn't see a lot of gaps this time. There were a couple times where you saw it, but I felt like, you know, like with Jalen Carter, I felt like the ends did a good job pinching. And again, Carter pushing. Now, there was a time late in the game on the last drive where it was like one of the few times like Jaden had the room to step up and deliver a zip. And I think it was on, it's one of the passes to Ertz late in the game. Maybe it may have even been a touchdown. I don't remember, but it was one, but the pocket wasn't collapsed. So like you notice that stuff. So I think that's as good a point as any, is that, you know, they are dealing with that and they've played and they've had to play really good fronts and it makes the difference. And we've seen that. So that's why I say, I don't think it's as simple as like, oh, he hurt his rib, the numbers are dropped, therefore it's the rib. I think you have to look at all those things.
I totally agree with you. Talking with our friend John Keim here. You can follow him at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Make sure you check out the John Keim Report, also his podcast. But, Johnny, I think I'm totally with you. I think they kind of gave one away to the Steelers. And if they had won that one, the morale, the conversation wouldn't be nearly as close to what it is. Looking ahead now, Dallas coming to town, they're coming off a short week, and then they've got another short week on the flip side of it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This needs to kind of be an ass-kicking, right?
Listen, man, so we had this assignment for ESPN where it's like, what's the biggest game of the second half? And I put this one down because partly because you looked at the schedule like, that's asking a lot to win one of those games, let alone both, and they obviously dropped both. So I kind of thought coming off this stretch, like you need to get healthy against Dallas. You know, not healthy physically wise, but just, you know, in terms of your game, right? And so, yes. And just win is what they need to do, but I think you want to go back and, like, look like your old selves offensively. Because one thing they've done really well, and it's funny, because you get people like, oh, they've done this beating bad teams. Well, yeah, but they lost to them before. Like, this is, you know what I mean? But what they did do against bad teams this year outside of the Giants, who always play them well, they've beaten them bad. And so, like, that's, you know, whether they can do that or not, but, like, that, I think that would calm people down for sure. And then you got Tennessee the week after, and you can get to 9-4 if you're back to what you were. But I think these games will tell a lot because they're not as good defensively as the teams they've just faced. And I think we'll know more. Was it the defenses or was it the start of something going in the wrong direction?
Do you suspect Lattimore plays this week?
it's so hard to say. We haven't seen him on the field. So I think it's hard to say one way or another until we actually see him on the field. And nothing would surprise me in this. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he sits another week. I mean, those, you know, the hamstrings can be several week things. But I don't know, Brian. I don't know. Like, we'll know more on Wednesday, not just if we see him on the field, but what is he doing on the side field? Is he, like, cutting loose running? Is he doing all sorts of things? Like, then you can see, okay, he's getting close. But, you know, until you see that, then it's hard to really know where it's at.
Yeah, you covered this team a long time.
I've heard.
I know, just like, me playing it, I knew it was a difference back in the day as it is today. I'm sure fans watching it, it's not the same as it was for them. How has it changed for you covering the team when Dallas Week pops up?
Oh, because now it feels like sometimes like a contrived rivalry because it just hasn't been as big as when I first started covering it, right? Because like you're talking about going back, I shouldn't say contrived, but like it's forced to like, oh, it's Dallas Week. Like, I don't feel that anymore, right? It's just, and I think players change teams so much. The fans here clearly still hate them, and I don't blame them. But I don't think it's like in Dallas they're not talking about it like that, you know, because it hasn't, to them, it hasn't, you know, it hasn't meant as much because this team hasn't been as good. So, you know, I just think it's different. Like way, way back in the day, it was like, either you guys were really good or they were really good. And so it's just like, and I started covering it just after all, you know, that great period of the 80s, right, where it was it was one of the best rivalries in sports. So it doesn't, I mean, the only way you can get back to that is if this team and that team becomes good and you're playing for something.
Yeah.
You know, consistently. And the, I mean, shoot, like, but that's why, like, the last time you really felt it was like probably 2012 when they had to win the division and it was at home and it was an electric atmosphere. It just, it hasn't been like that. And I don't know. Do you guys feel that same way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like, I know it comes up and we discuss it and, you know, and on the media stuff, we always have a point to discuss that, but you didn't have to hear the media back in the day.
No.
You felt
no.
it. You felt yeah. it. You saw it. You experienced things that let you, as a player going to practice, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh hell, we better be ready this week.
Yeah.
Because the fans were ready, you know, and like over the last, I don't know how many years, you won't even see nothing. Nobody were really having any rallies about it.
It's also hard to talk about Dallas Week the last few years when you're just like, just win a game.
Been so one-sided, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just, you know, just, but it's also like there were so many other things going on that, like, do you really think the players were getting pumped up about Dallas Week last year? Like, no, it's, you know, it was just, they need to win and they know, but it's like, and it happens to be Dallas, but it's not something that I feel has been like, it's been talked about, like, you know, I know, like, they knew the owner used to, how much he hated them and all that. So that's great, but it didn't filter into this feeling in the locker room. Now, I will say, like, you know, the better you are, this team now, when, like, for example, when the Eagles come to town in a few weeks, like, if they win a few games and they're on another three-game win, let's say they're on a three-game win streak, the Eagles are coming to town, that's going to feel different in the locker room because it's a big game.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so whoever you're playing, if it's a big game, it feels different. But if you're 4-6 last year and you're going down to Dallas, it ain't about Dallas week. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it falls flat.
Well, last year there was so much focus on the heated benches, right?
Yeah, I can recall fans saying, just win the two games against Dallas.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't say that
now,
no more.
No, because
it's like, just win a game.
Yeah, and I also don't know, like, you know, would you rather go 2-14 or 14-2?
We discussed that earlier. I had to tell somebody that early on.
You know what, though? We're talking with John Keim here. Give him a follow at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Northwest Stadium had that big game feel for the Steelers game. And maybe it was
sure.
just because it was your 500th game, Johnny, but it had that feel, and I think – when you get two good teams, they had it. We felt it at the Link last Thursday.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's generated by Philly fans, and that crowd was overwhelmingly green.
Yeah.
I was almost surprised at how little burgundy there was. But
it was more burgundy there this year than it was in previous years.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, dude,
crazy green.
I'm telling you. Yeah, their stuff is green, but it was more burgundy than they had in the previous years.
But you're right. Like the fun thing was like listening to the radio on the drive to the game, Philly radio, because it was about it being a big game, and the discussion was on like, how do you beat this? How do you slow this guy? What do you do here? And like that's the stuff that we haven't had in years. And so like it's actually been that part has been fun. So, but you're right. Like I mean, the atmosphere at FedEx and Northwest a couple weeks ago was great. And I would think, you know, I don't think you're going to get that same atmosphere when it's Tennessee, but you're going to get this fan base knows how important those games are. And then if you can hold serve in the next few weeks, and then you got the Eagles coming in, like things, that's going to be an electric place. And I also will see, you know, what I'm curious to see, JP, too, is in the future when now you can sell season tickets based off Jaden Daniels. And
man.
Like, you really couldn't do that last year. So how much is that going to improve things even more? Like, there were a lot of Steelers fans last week. Would that be like that if this team takes off over the next couple of years? What will that look like? And will it become even a
Pittsburgh
home
and Green Bay may be the outliers
different.
In that you, like,
different.
Never stop
different.
Them. But you're right.
True.
And one of the things – I don't know that they officially said it, but they've kind of made it known that the previous administration had all these long-term deals with ticket brokers that you've got to work hard to unwind.
Yeah.
And you have to work hard to unwind that and then have a product people want to buy.
There you go.
Correct.
I think they've got that going forward, but it's still going to be a transitory process, I think. I just think the best thing they can do is keep winning games, stack them up, and a lot of these problems kind of take care of themselves.
For sure.
As much as everybody's excited about Mark Ine and Mitch Rales and Josh Harris, the real excitement is Jaden Daniels and being 7-4.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I was on some Philly station last week, and they were talking about that and, like, how much that plays into it. It's like, that's all great. Like, fans were excited last year when they came on, when Harris's group bought the team, and there's no doubt that helped. But they were understandably annoyed by how the season went.
Yeah.
And if this season were, if they were 4-7 right now, like, the excitement is dimmed for sure.
Totally.
So, and here's what I say too. Like, this is when you know it's back to being football. Like, after the Steelers game, I think there was a sense of, like, all right, you know, like that was a good, tough game. Like, that was a fun game. You know, that, yes, I mean, they clearly could have won that game. One play could have changed the outcome of that game. And you can say it a lot of times, but there are, like, handful that's like, they usually make this play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that was where, but after the Eagles game, I noticed, you know, so I think the disappointment was somewhat, I don't know about muted, because, like, people obviously want to win, but I think it was like, you know, but after the Eagles game, it's like, I think a lot of that, the pissed offness returned. And, mm-hmm. and I don't say that in a bad way, but, like, to me, it was, like, actually kind of fun because, like, they were mad that they lost the game because it's a big game. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? I think that's actually a good thing. Like, the expectations have been raised and the fans were disappointed and upset and they want better. And, like, that's great. Like, that's when you know you're starting to get back to it. Like, where it's like, not just happy to be this. It's like, now the expectations have been raised. What can this team do? And I still, like, you look at those rosters between the Eagles and Washington, and the Eagles have a pretty damn good roster, and they're further ahead for sure.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean there weren't opportunities to win that game.
Agreed.
Or to take the lead for sure.
Totally.
Speaking of raised expectations, John, did you watch any of the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight?
Come on.
It was something.
And if you did,
it was something to watch.
It wasn't exciting.
No, I choose to remember Mike Tyson from back in the day.
He was the baddest man on the planet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
How you feeling about your Buckeyes and the pending college football playoff?
How much time we got?
Give me the 40-second version.
Okay, 40 seconds. They have a really good offense. I think they're going to be hard to stop. I have questions about their corners. Can they, you know, and I think, like, if you play a team with a really good offense, it's going to come down to a last possession. So, I mean, you know, but they've got to beat Indiana. Indiana is a great story this year.
Is that this weekend?
This weekend.
In Columbus? Where is it?
It's in Columbus, and it's funny to say, like, they play Michigan the next week, and the game that people are talking about is this one. That's how much things have changed for Indiana and Michigan. So that'll be a fun game, and so I think this week will tell us a lot. But they have third and fourth receivers who are going to play in the NFL. But you got to, like, their defense gives up stuff at the corner. So, like, that's you know. So
listen to this top five be in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana.
Hey, you know what happens when other people could get some five stars on their team?
I don't mean this.
That portal and that NIL has changed the game.
Ducks, Buckeyes, very, very legitimate.
Indiana?
I think I take Georgia, Ole Miss. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, you are spoiled like everybody else by just looking at the bigger schools from the SEC. Well, right now, they're losing some games, aren't they? They're losing games they don't ordinarily lose. Still, they're losing.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was always going to be SEC or Big Ten.
It still looks that way. Everybody but Notre Dame is SEC or Big Ten.
Right. Well, everybody has moved over now, so we don't know who's who. So.
And Indiana did a good job in, like, the transfer portal, but still, like, it's still surprising what they've done. And their schedule hasn't been the hardest, but they've beaten the crap out of teams. So, excuse my language, they've beaten the heck out of teams.
Are you just, like, as a college football fan and then obviously as a Buckeye, are you excited about the 12-team playoff?
Yeah, not...
It's changed some stuff.
It has stuff. Like, you know, and it's funny because I understand the four team was becoming somewhat boring because, you know, a lot of times it was three of the four teams were always in there, right? Like, it always seemed like the same teams were in there. So I get that. It adds a different layer to the college football season. It makes other things like depth and some the other things way more important than ever. And I don't like that, you know, there's these some conferences have automatic buys when it's like,
yeah,
the conferences aren't that strong. So I think there's things to work out. Like, you know, I think the hard part with college football is there's no perfect way to ever execute any postseason stuff because there's so many teams and yeah, right. Conferences are very different. And, you know, but I, so listen, yep. If Ohio State wins, I won't have a problem with it. So, it's hard because like how many games you have to play and,
sure.
You know, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. They should.
College football's in a tough spot. Yeah.
They need to synchronize the scheduling. We got to go though, John. Thank you for the time.
All right.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you. See ya.
That's our friend John Keim. Give him a follow at John_Keim. We talked some college football playoff. Let's talk NFC playoff scenarios. Nobody. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To go anywhere. All right, let's look at some NFC playoff scenarios because honestly, it's that time of year. Late November. November 18th is officially late November, right? Mid-November. Maybe next week's late. We'll go around the room with these questions. Also, just so we're aware, because I don't know if we have to let security know or anything, I have reached out to Chris Russell and his people to see if he's available to join us. Is anyone but Detroit going to be the one seed in the NFC, Jeffrey?
No.
Landini? It's a no from Landini B?
Nope.
All right, they're only a game ahead of the Eagles.
Okay.
Still comfortable.
Have you watched them play?
I have.
Okay.
They are rolling.
You see them rolling.
And I... Yeah. I don't... foresee a stumble. Lions down the stretch here. At Indy, Chicago, Green Bay, Buffalo, all at home. At the Bears, at the Niners, Vikings at home to end the year. Couple juicy games in there. Packers, Bills, Niners, Vikes. But they also seem like the type that's up for the challenge.
Yeah.
You look at the Lions ranks, they're first in points scored, third in yards gained. Fifth in points allowed, 13th in yards allowed. So they're getting it done on all sides of the ball.
True.
If we all agree Detroit's going to be the one seed, they're the only team that gets the bye.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands today, the Eagles are the 2 seed.
Okay.
As winners of the NFC East, and they currently have an 8-2 record. Landfill, as it stands today, November 18th, 2024, 12:34 p.m., who's winning the NFC East?
The Eagles.
Jeffrey?
The Eagles.
Eagles got a lot of meat left on that bone, though.
They
got
to play against the Ravens.
They still have the Ravens
play
the Steelers. And the Steelers. They still have
they
to come,
come
down
back
here.
Down here. I don't know if I could just say right now that they would.
I also don't think.
It's going to be one of the two, them or the Commanders. But I don't know if right now I could just say for, definitely they're going to do it.
Of the Eagles' remaining games at L.A., which I do not think is a gimme, and I look forward to, see if you can find a look-ahead line on that, Landfill. I look forward to taking the points with the Rams next weekend in L.A. That's a system pick all day. Sunday night game, At L.A., at Baltimore. All right, there's one very clear gimme on here. They get the Panthers at home. Then they get the Steelers December 15th. Then they're down here for a game that's probably getting flexed to Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Then they finish the season Cowboys-Giants. Which
do they flex to Monday Night Football?
I think Sunday, December 22nd, will get flexed to either Sunday or Monday Night game. Yeah. You can flex it to Monday, the last month of the season.
Get ready to work hard, Jake.
Get ready to be tired, B. I do think Philly's got three real toss-ups. Two real toss-ups, Ravens, Steelers. Rams, Commanders, I think, are going to be highly competitive games. So I don't think that's as done as others do. If you look at Washington's remaining schedule, Dallas, Tennessee combined 5-13. At New Orleans, coming off a bye. Eagles at home, Falcons at home. What'd you think of the Falcons getting their ass kicked by the Broncos?
Hey, bro. That is the Falcons. You know, when things are going good offensively, their defense can play a little bit. But when the offense not doing much, the defense don't do anything.
That game yesterday, I had Chiefs Bills, on TV, but then I had Falcons Broncos. I was getting like a ton of updates via the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like butt, dude. Kirk in that game was bad, 18-27. Mm-hmm. Penix got in late. Kirk was 18-27 for a $173 and a pick. The pick was terrible. Bijan couldn't get going. On 12 carries, he averaged 2.9 yards per carry.
Yeah.
They just had nothing working.
Nothing at all. And you would suspect quarterback of that caliber been around that long not to be as lethargic as he was.
Well, and there was a period of time where it seemed like the Falcons were going to seize control of the NFC South, and then it kind of Question for the group. You can tell Roos to come in here if he wants, whatever he wants to do. Who's winning the NFC South? The Falcons are 6-5. The Bucs are 4-6. The Saints are 4-7. The Saints all of a sudden have won two in a row since they fired their coach.
I still go with the Falcons. I thought the Bucs were going to be something, but the Bucs seem to be falling off right now to me.
They had so many injuries, and I think it kind of just cooked them. I think it should be the Falcons. I think the Falcons have their bye. Then they go Chargers at Minnesota, at Raiders, Giants at home, up here, finish with
at
the
Minnesota?
Panthers. At Minnesota, yeah.
That's going to be an interesting game. Let's see how Kirk reacts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, going back there.
Yeah.
All right, so when you look at the NFC playoff picture, somebody's going to win the South. That's basically the best way to look at that. Whoever wins the South will probably be the four seed, right? That's the way it is right now. But the NFC West and the NFC South are both going to be the winner of those divisions will probably have a worse record than all three wild card teams.
Mm-hmm.
So think about let that kind of settle in.
Well, it's been like that some years over the last few years.
That's what happens. One of the problems is Washington happens to be in the good division. And there's a lot of teams they're now chasing. If the season ended today, and it doesn't, Washington would be the 7 seed, and they'd be traveling to Philly for that first-round playoff game. The Vikings are 8-2. The Packers are 7-3. The Packers had the big win yesterday with the walk-off field goal block. The Vikings also just kind of handled Tennessee on the road. Winning on the road like that is fairly impressive. Tennessee's ain't great, but that was never really a tight game. I thought Darnold played pretty well, had 250 through the air with two touches, ran for a touchdown. B, do you see a late season fade coming from Minnesota?
As long as Sam Darnold's there, I expect anything.
They're playing some defense, though, dude.
Yep, but your defense get tired late in the season if your offense is not going to be playing great enough. Good enough to keep take some pressure off of them.
To that point.
And their defense has led the way most times.
To that point, the Vikings offense is 10th in points scored, 14th in yards gained, defensively 4th in points allowed, 10th in yards gained. Now, here's where I think Minnesota should be okay. I don't know. You tell me. They've already had their bye, so they've got seven remaining. Right? Yeah, seven remaining. At Chicago, then they're home for a three-game stretch. Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago again. At Seattle, Green Bay home finale, finish on the road at Detroit. I don't think Minnesota's going anywhere, man. I think that's a pretty good team, well-built, well-coached. So does that mean, for Washington's sake, could Green Bay fade? Washington's in right now, which is good, but they are the last spot.
The thing about you talking about Minnesota, how many of those games they have down the stretch as division games?
One, two, three, four.
And that's not a walk in the park for them.
I'm not saying the schedule doesn't look to be walk in the park-ish. I think I actually believe in that organization, but I could also see Green Bay getting kind of hot here. Good game this weekend, B. Packers-Niners in Lambeau. Packers have seven left also. Niners in Lambeau. The Dolphins coming to Lambeau. Good luck. At Detroit, at Seattle, the Saints at home.
Dolphins better wish it's not one of those, those fronts coming through.
At Minnesota, finish with Chicago. I think the Packers are actually pretty good. I think Jordan Love's pretty damn good. That one's not – I don't think anybody's going away in that NFC North.
Well, that'll make it better, so they'd be fighting down to the end. So you don't have to see too many games where it's just lopsided.
It's funny you mentioned better, Brian, because the good people at Better Appliance saved my butt a couple weeks back. The dishwasher was broken. Lauren was mad. I called them. They came out. They fixed it. They got it done in like 45 minutes, but the fix didn't hold, and this is what really impressed me. As soon as the fix didn't last, they came back out and replaced the dishwasher within like 24 hours. One, the timeliness and the service, but two, when they did the fix, the guy was cool. He could have tried to upsell me, could have tried to say fix this again or all these different things. He said, look, man, I can see what the problem is. Let me try to rerun it, and if I can get it going, see how long it lasts, and then you might need a new one. It was just an honest approach, and that makes such a huge difference. And I kind of get it. When you're working with Better, you're working with a family-owned company that's been servicing the D.C. area for 70 years. They're based in Kensington, right there off Connecticut Avenue. I'm telling you, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that stuff is coming up. You need to make sure your stuff is in order. You don't need a broken oven and you got to make the mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving Day. You better get better. Check them out at betterappliance.com. That's BETTAR. Landfill's got this Seal song in heavy rotation.
Yeah.
Is this the one from the Batman soundtrack? Yeah. Who was that Batman? Clooney? Affleck?
I think it was Val Kilmer.
Val. Shout out to Val. He's not doing so hot. All-time great actor. So I texted a guest to join us in this slot. Jeff confirmed with the guest to join us in this slot. Just so we're clear, let's do roll call. Just say present if you're here. B. Mitch?
Here.
Jeff?
Present.
Landfill?
Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane.
I am also here.
What?
My name is James. Is Chris Russell here?
No.
And Jeff, what did he just tell you? He said, I'll be there.
Yes.
Landville, he told you the same thing?
Yeah, it turns out he's a liar.
I'll go get him.
I we'll see if he makes it over here in time. He's got a show starting at 2. Very bizarre, Chris Russell's general behavior, but this one particularly. Now, maybe something happened. You never know. Things happen in this world. When Rooster arrives, we'll ask him a question. The Commanders' current playoff odds, B, are 81%. The next highest wild card possibility, it'd be 14%.
Okay.
Jeff, did you get an answer? Did he turn us down again? Oh, gracing us with his presence. Hello, Roos.
What up, Roos?
Sorry, boys. I apologize. I got very busy trying to fix the studio over on the 980 side.
Why are you trying to fix the studio?
Well, because every weekend when I come back in on Monday, a certain somebody has completely screwed it up.
Who?
Oh, that happens here, too.
I don't know if we want to mention that name on.
Well, tell him. I mean, hell, you say a certain somebody. I mean, damn.
I think people mess up this studio more than yours.
Probably.
Because I have no idea with all of the studio options why anyone would ever set foot in this one.
Well, because they're not allowed to use that one.
Okay. Junks live in their own universe. Yeah. We all understand that. But your studio, the 980 Crapola. Studio, significantly better than this one.
It is. I'm not here to complain about that. I'm telling you, whoever uses it over the weekend, and I know who it is.
Name names.
The
Damn.
Main event messiah, as he now wants to be known.
Ooh. I legit don't know who that is.
Oh, who? What?
Linnell Willing.
The what? Yo.
He now wants to be called the main event messiah.
I like that.
Keep that crap over there.
That's why I didn't want to tell you.
Nah.
But anyway,
actually funny.
He uses that studio and, you know, for his CBS stuff, and he doesn't turn anything back. So I can't hear what's going on out of my board. So I've been trying to figure it out. And then Jeff storms over and he's looking at me like,
yeah,
you know,
we
like,
said
where
Jeff,
are you?
That he's our heavy duty hitter.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mess with Jeff.
I apologize.
And
well, he looks splendid in that Caps 50th anniversary sweatshirt.
He does look. It looked, and that was sized for me. I did not think that would fit.
That wouldn't have fit you. That would have been a little.
It's very nice.
I'd be swimming in it. But yeah, it looks good on you, Jeff.
Very nice of you to give it to him.
Thank you.
I told him. I said if he wants to. You know, he said he's only been in hockey for 2 years, so he still doesn't know the rules. I said, hey, man. I don't know all the rules
it's
either, but
that,
I'd be more than
that
willing to
call hockey and watch it. Don't know all the rules.
I think Jeff and Chris should watch some hockey together, cook some sausage, drink some Heineken.
I think and broadcast it on YouTube.
Hell yeah!
Probably. I think that would be pretty funny.
I could probably
be funny.
One retweet, but I probably won't watch a single second. That's what I
ask. I think you would probably. You would have
JP,
your big screen TV
I think
you'd out.
Sit there and watch the whole
you'd
thing.
Have your prime
you
rib or whatever
stuff like that.
You're cooking, chicken, prime rib. I mean, you got all things going at the J.P. Finley abode. And then you'd have YouTube on your computer, and you'd be watching the Jeff and Chris show.
Watch it on the YouTube.
Yeah, on the YouTube instead of the Google machine.
I have a series of actual questions for you, Bruce.
Yes.
Besides you and Jeff cooking sausage and watching YouTube together.
I mean, you want to talk about Almond Joy?
That's Jeff's thing. Jeff likes the nuts.
See, I listen.
Roost. Who's going to win the NFC East?
Well, the Eagles.
You think it's a done deal?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I know they have a tougher schedule, but I don't think there's any guarantees that the Commanders are going 3-0 before they see Philadelphia again right before Christmas.
Well, Kyle Shanahan doesn't know we're going to be on this planet next week. I'm not talking about guarantees. Do you think they drop one of these?
I think more likely than not, they go 2-1 during this three-game stretch.
Are you concerned with the offensive flummox?
Yeah, I'm concerned with it all.
Do you think that is more than...
Yes.
I think a lot of it is offensive line injuries. I think that's the driving factor.
I think certainly that's a big part of it, and certainly they needed a mini bye weekend. They've been playing football 17 straight weeks in a row.
Yeah. Late
I know
July.
Nobody wants to count training camp or the preseason,
late July.
But it counts. I mean, your body's beat up, right? I mean, it's like miles on your tires, right? I mean, you don't just skip the first 20,000 miles on your tire and say, well, I've only got 30,000 miles on these tires. You got to count that, right? So while it's not the same as a regular season game, I got it. It's still 17 weeks of football, and it's not only the offensive line. Obviously, it's Jaden, too. He's never played an NFL schedule. He's never played against the caliber of athlete and the depth of competition. And we know the ribs. Okay, that might be part of it. Oh, and by the way, play two very physical back-to-back defenses in three out of the last four. And I would even say the Giants aren't a bad defense. They didn't do well that particular
Especially
day.
Especially then, they were more functional.
Exactly.
So you got the Eagles winning. Do you think the Commanders, now the 7th seed, are in any danger of missing the playoffs?
I wouldn't say danger, but the way I answered this on Friday... Is it a guarantee? Is it a lock? No. Whereas a week ago,
none of it is a guarantee. Take the one seed.
I mean, but think about it, right? Like on Friday morning, we woke up and that was a legitimate question. Is it a definitive guarantee that they're going to make? Whereas five mornings before, that Sunday morning before the Pittsburgh game, we all woke up and go,
Wait a second. I wasn't even talking about the playoffs five mornings before that.
Well, that's because you're B-Mitch.
I just think ultimately we don't look at certain things seriously, but we always make the we look at the offense and we believe the offense is just going to hell in the handbasket. I don't buy it. I think that the injuries to the O-line is the biggest problem on this team.
And those two defenses that just played.
The ribs are not the biggest problem. I think the O-line injuries was the biggest problem.
I don't disagree. I mean, Wiley's obviously nowhere close to 100%. Had to. I know he was active for the Pittsburgh game, but he didn't play. I know he played the other night. Okay, fine. But Biadasz is the biggest one, I think. And then the left tackle, I mean, listen, Coleman is still a rookie. And yes, he's looked impressive at times, but he got smacked around pretty good the last two games.
Philly got a hold of him.
Yeah.
Who wins the NFC West?
Ooh. I'm gonna go with I can't believe I'm saying this. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
Ooh. Okay. I'm just glad
I didn't like Kyler Murray coming into this year.
I mean to say this. I'm glad you didn't say the Niners, because everybody's saying the Niners, and it's just this conventional wisdom pick, and it doesn't seem right out there.
Did you
now
guys
they can
see
reel
that
off five in a row or something? But
did you see the crazy reporter I used to work with him at SI? His name is Grant Cohn. He's doing this video, and you've been in that San Francisco 49er like tunnel to the like locker rooms and whatever.
Yeah,
he's doing this like loud, and I'm telling you, Kyle Shanahan should be fired if they don't make the playoffs, and everybody like you know like serving. Staff that are walking by as he's recording this, literally as he's walking to the presumably the 49er press conference room, it's just like looking at him like, dude, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? You got to watch the video. It's about 2.5 minutes, but he's just trying to fan the flames. And Kyle Kyle sort of dunked on him the other day and he got mad about that. So now he's got a war with Kyle and whatever. And, hey, Kyle could get fired. He shouldn't, but he could.
Kyle not making the playoffs and an upcoming team not making the playoffs is two totally different things.
That's fair.
Apparently, we got a break.
Yeah.
You got somewhere to be. Yeah. Landfill's getting mad at me.
Sorry.
Thanks for coming
Thank
in
you,
late
boys.
And
I appreciate it. I'm
ruining
sorry.
Our time clock.
I apologize. By the way, great singing. I think you should sing it again right now.
Crop McGaff is the one with five stars. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.